This is Upstate's HealthLink on air, Linda Cohen along with you. Lately, it's been referred to as the Angelina effect, sparked by celebrity Angelina's Jolie's recent decision to have a double mastectomy after discovering that she carried a gene that placed her at high risk for breast cancer. So in this era of available genetic testing, how should we employ this technology to our best advantage? And what are the risks of doing so? Well, here to help us with the answers to these questions is Bonnie Braddock. She's a certified genetic counselor with Upstate Medical University. Welcome, Bonnie. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Well, let's begin by explaining a little bit about genetic testing. What exactly is it?
Genetic testing is really sort of a broad way of looking at somebody's DNA, asking a specific question whether or not there's a hereditary gene that could place somebody at increased risk for certain disease.
So they look at the variations in the DNA sequencing and find genetic markers, is that correct?
They are looking for changes in the DNA that are significant, that significantly alter how the gene works, which could increase somebody's risk for developing certain types of diseases.
So why exactly would someone consider doing it? Why do it?
Somebody may consider genetic testing if it might change their chances of certain health conditions where they could choose to do certain types of screening or surveillance or monitoring to try to reduce their risk from certain health problems occurring, or trying to detect a health problem at the earliest stages before it becomes a more significant problem.
How is it actually done?
It's usually done through a blood test, and the laboratory takes that blood sample and they isolate or take out the DNA sample, and then they target a certain gene or panel of genes that are being asked to look at, and they will sequence or actually read through the gene to see if there is a significant change within the gene sequence.
So at one time, I know there's been a lot of buzz of late with the Supreme Court decision that no one company can patent a gene. I think this Myriad Genetics, there was all this buzz about their situation where they were holding that gene, some of the BRCA genes, and their testing was costing so much money because they basically had the monopoly on it. Well, that's no longer allowed, and I guess the hope now is that they'll have some competition.
I think this will be a huge impact on the field of genetic testing for the BRCA1 and BRCA2 genes. As you said, the one laboratory had a patent on the gene, so that's the only lab that was offering testing. Soon we will have options for other laboratories doing this test, which hopefully will make the test more affordable, better access to people, and other options for how the testing is done.
Generally, is it covered by insurance?
Most insurances will provide coverage for genetic testing if there's a reason to do the testing.
So that's getting back to what I'm curious about to begin with. Do you make that decision based on something like family history? What role does, how does someone come to the decision that they want to even undertake something like this?
Absolutely. So there are certain clues in a person's health history or family history that could suggest a higher likelihood of a hereditary form of disease. When we're talking about hereditary cancer risk, general things that we think about are if somebody has a cancer diagnosis or a past history of cancer, were they diagnosed at a younger age than we typically see for that type of disease?
So that might be a flag.
Exactly.
If someone in your family or number of people in your family contracted a disease at an earlier age.
Or if somebody had two or more occurrences of a new type of cancer.
Within the same person.
Or if there's a family history where there are multiple close relatives with the same kind of cancer or a similar type of cancer.
Now, you're talking about cancers, and obviously that's been in the news most often, but what about something like heart disease? In other words, are there tests today where if you had an analysis done of your genes that you could determine whether you'd be a candidate for heart disease?
Yes. There are, again, certain family histories that might suggest early onset risk for cardiovascular disease, and there is some genetic testing available. So the important part to all of this is to know your family history, talk to your physician who can then guide you and determine if there's something that you should be looking into.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's Health Link on Air. I'm Linda Cohen along with genetic counselor Bonnie Braddock, and we're talking about genetic testing, some of the pros and cons. And when I think of the pros, obviously, in the case of Angelina Jolie being a high-profile person, they said she had a very high likelihood, something like 87 or 86% of contracting breast cancer, and then perhaps even ovarian cancer. So she made the choice at this point of having the double mastectomy. But is that generally, can they usually determine things to that high a percentage, the likelihood?
Well, right now we're looking if there is a hereditary breast cancer gene known as BRCA1 or BRCA2. What we know is we have data about the group of women who carry a change, what we call a mutation in one of these genes. And we usually give risk ranges depending on what gene it is, what data we're looking at, and what somebody's age is. So we may give somebody a different risk if they're 20 or if they're currently 60.
Yeah, I read somewhere that genetic testing only indicates probabilities, that aren't 100% definitive. Is that correct?
Most of the time we are looking at probabilities. There are some less common genetic conditions where it's almost inevitable for a health condition to occur. But again, those are the unusual or less common conditions. So usually we're talking about increased risk. In terms of the magnitude of risk, it depends on the gene involved and the family history.
I think what strikes me, what occurs to me immediately, though, is you can find out way ahead of perhaps the onset of disease. The question is, if there is no cure, or if there's nothing that you really can do about it. I mean, clearly something like heart disease, you can make lifestyle changes, one would hope, dietary changes. With the BRCA genes, you can remove the potential offending organs, that kind of stuff. But in something like Parkinson's, for example, or ALS, or those kinds of, serious neurologic problems where there right now is no particular cure, I guess the question is, would you want to know?
Those are such personal decisions. And some people do want to know for planning, so that they can get whatever they need in order to prepare for disease, to talk to their family members, and also to potentially clarify risk to family members. On the other hand, if there's a known gene in the family and they are found not to carry it, that can certainly provide relief that they did not inherit the gene associated with the condition and therefore cannot pass it on.
What I think about here, though, how important it is, therefore, to not go this alone, obviously you can't go this alone. You have a lab and a physician to help you get this whole thing initiated, but how important, therefore, something like counseling, in your case, genetic counseling, that's your expertise, is so important, because once given a probability, maybe not even a high probability that you might contract a disease for which there is no current cure, you would think you would need some counseling to help you deal with that decision.
I think that is so important. And we can look at numbers in terms of what somebody's chances of developing certain disease. But the important part is trying to put that number in the best perspective that we can in terms of what does it mean for that individual person? What is that person's option to try to reduce their risk? What are the risks to other family members? How can people talk to their relatives about this inherited condition, about this inherited risk, and what their choices might be?
How often do you see, or in your experience, and you're obviously very experienced in this, have you seen cancer associated with a hereditary gene? Obviously, the case of breast cancer and ovarian is out there.
Well, it's important to keep in mind that the great majority of cancers are not associated with a single hereditary gene. Only about 5 to 10% of all cancers, including breast cancer, are associated with a gene that we can identify. So most of the time, these genes will not explain why cancer's been in the family. That's why the family history is so important, to know how to screen out which families may show a higher likelihood of finding a gene.
You know, if the tests come down in cost and if more companies make it available so it's more widely available. Do you think it's the kind of thing that people should be doing almost as a prophylactic thing on a wide scale, you know, on a large scale basis? And what's your thinking about
that? We really do not recommend that, because the key thing is, how are we going to interpret results in context with somebody's personal and family history? So that might get a little tricky. And we currently don't offer just general screening for the, especially for the cancer genes.
I know we don't offer it, but I'm just kind of, you know, kind of blue skying and thinking down the road, is this something that may occur? Tell me, we have a little bit of time left. What actually happens? How do you get into the picture as a genetic counselor? How does someone come to you?
Many physicians will refer patients after they screen their own patients for their family history. Some patients call us directly that they've heard about us and they're concerned about something in their family. Sometimes we've seen a family member where we've identified a genetic risk and they pass that word on to other relatives. So we wind up seeing multiple family members.
So you'll first get the results of the testing, and then with that in hand, you'll sit down with the family and discuss probabilities and what needs to be done.
We meet with people even before we embark on genetic testing to determine how likely is it that there's a hereditary gene.
Or even if they should.
Or even, right, how likely is it that we'll find something, what that might mean for somebody, depending on how the test results come back, all of the benefits and drawbacks of genetic testing. If somebody does decide to go ahead with testing, then we do meet with them once the test results come back to talk about what those results mean for them.
Well, I can see in some, it's really, if you're in doubt, you must get help from a professional genetic counselor and not this idea of somehow doing it yourself, especially if the tests do become increasingly available. Well, thanks so much for coming in. My guest has been Bonnie Braddock. She's a certified genetic counselor with Upstate Medical University. I'm Linda Cohen, and you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.